And good morning, everyone. Morning. I welcome you as we celebrate Holy Eucharist on this second Sunday of Advent. It is on this second Sunday every year that we are introduced to the person of John the Baptist. As our scripture says, the one foretold by Isaiah, the one whose voice cries from the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. As we hear his words today, we are exhorted to prepare our lives for the coming again of Christ.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God of everlasting glory and eternal love, from west and east you gather the humble, leading them with joy to the glorious light of your kingdom. Make straight your path in our hearts, bring low the heights of our pride, and prepare us to celebrate with ardent faith the coming of our Savior. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Wilderness is part of my DNA. It has permeated my life. I canoed through miles and miles of Canadian wilderness as a teenager, sometimes for as long as 6 weeks at a time. I learned wilderness survivor skills in high school and took multi-week wilderness courses in outdoor leadership as a young adult. I've rafted wild rivers on four continents, hiked and backpacked in many wilderness areas, and contended with heat, wind, snow, hail, floods, rattlesnakes, scorpions, grizzly bears, crocodiles, and clouds of mosquitoes. I've experienced the beauty, majesty, and power of God's creation in ways that have thrilled me to the depths of my soul and brought me to tears of joy and awe. I've been challenged by some of my wilderness experiences in ways that no other experiences could have provided. And I've been formed in the crucible of these experiences. I've experienced God in the wilderness in ways that I can't even begin to explain because words can't describe them. Wilderness is transformative. Psychiatrist and author Gerald May, in the preface to his book, The Wisdom of Wilderness, wrote, "Wilderness is not just a place. It is also a state of being. Wilderness, then, is not only the nature you find outdoors. It can also refer to your own true nature, the you that is closest to your birth. This inner wilderness is the untamed truth of who you really are." I've been thinking about both my own transformative wilderness experiences and Gerald May's idea of wilderness as both a place and a state of being as I've pondered the importance of the location of John the Baptist's ministry in the wilderness. Why is John in the wilderness? Why does he draw people to the wilderness? To the wild area around the Jordan River as he calls for repentance and forgiveness. The wilderness aspect of his ministry seems essential, feels essential, and I believe it is essential. In this season of Advent, we encounter John, son of the priest Zechariah, as a threshold figure. As my New Testament professor at Yale, Michael Beth Dinkler, has commented, John is a prophet standing in the gap between the Hebrew prophets of old, like Isaiah, and the promised prophet to come, Jesus. He is the hinge of history, a prophet in the style of the Old Testament prophets, calling for repentance and foretelling the coming of the Messiah, but ushering in a new age, an age of redemption, a new dawn, a new beginning, the coming of the Word made flesh to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, as John's father Zechariah prophesied. John signals the end of the age of the law and the prophets and heralds the coming of a new exodus, a new kingdom, and the salvation of God. And so it's fitting that the word of God came to John in the wilderness, a threshold figure in a threshold place, a thin place, perhaps, where the boundary between heaven and earth is especially slender. A place of encounter with God, as when Moses encountered God in the burning bush in the wilderness at Mount Horeb. The kind of wilderness that forged the Israelites into the covenanted people of God during the first Exodus. A place entirely different from the kingdoms and institutions of John's time, whose rulers were so meticulously listed by Luke as he situated John in the larger historical framework. Tiberius, Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, Annas, and Caiaphas. This was the fitting place for the word of God to come to one who had no particular connections to the inhabited world and had no worldly power, but had eyes wide open to see and proclaim the light that was to come and to prepare a way for it. And it was a fitting place for John to conduct his ministry, drawing people out of their homes in the cities to experience a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the wilderness. Wilderness is transformative, and transformation is what he was proclaiming. A baptism of repentance called for change, for changed behavior. Repentance, metanoia in the Greek, means a turning around, a change of mind and heart. This implies a kind of inner and life-changing transformation that's visible in one's actions in the world. Wilderness is the kind of place that's humbling and sets one straight. I experienced the humbling power of wilderness in spades in the one and only flip I had while whitewater rafting. I'd been rafting for 10 years without a flip when I dropped into Granite Rapid on the Colorado River in Grand Canyon one summer day about 15 years ago. I was rowing two passengers and having a great run when an extra big wave kicked up right under my boat, turned it 90 degrees, and flipped it over before I even knew what was happening. I came up under the boat, but when I realized there was no air bubble where I could catch a breath, I had to push myself back down and walk my hands to the edge of the raft in order to come up on the outside of the raft. I was never so happy to take a breath in my life. From that day on, I knew that as good as I might be on the oars, the river was always in charge. And I learned a lasting lesson about pride that day. Wilderness also serves as a place of growth, as I learned in my flip in Granite, and a place of developing spiritual strength. These are the kinds of transformations that are hard to experience in everyday life, in the comfort of our own homes and our own routines, as John undoubtedly knew. So he traveled the region of the Jordan, calling people out of their comfort zones and into a place ripe for repentance and transformation in his mission to prepare them for a new age and the coming of the Messiah. Through the Hebrew scriptures, the people of John's time knew the wilderness not only as a place of desolation and scarcity, but also, counterintuitively perhaps, as a place of safety and divine provision, as Professor Dinkler has pointed out in her writings. God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness during their 40-year Exodus journey. Remember when he provided them manna in the wilderness? A young David escaped into the safety of the wilderness to evade Saul's wrath. And in the wilderness, the prophet Elijah found safety from persecution at the hands of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. John himself experienced the wilderness as a sanctuary in the lifetime he had spent there, and never questioned that God provided him with all his needs. So to the people who heard his message, the wilderness could be understood as a refuge from the danger, scarcity, and violence in their lives, and as a place to experience the God who protects his own and provides them with all that they need. We too can experience wilderness as a place where God provides us with what we need. It's a place of spiritual renewal. A place where we, like Moses, can encounter God. Not in a bush that's burning but not consumed, but through the amazing natural world that God has created. I've encountered God through the stunning beauty of Red Rock Canyons, the descending trill of a canyon wren, the northern lights dancing across the night sky of a northern lake, and the graceful sway of a giraffe walking across the Okavango Delta in Botswana. But you don't have to go to exotic places to encounter God. As Gerald May wrote, you may find your wilderness anywhere, in your own house, your garden, with other people, in the most surprisingly ordinary situations. We all need to allow ourselves to be led into our own wildernesses, there to be taught what we most need to know, and to be healed where we most need it. Wilderness is a place of being in the moment, a place of being in the present, a place where we can merely be. In our daily lives, we're constantly being dragged out of the present, out of the moment. We worry about the future or fret about the past or obsess about other things or people in other places. In the wilderness, there's no point in being caught up in some other time or place other than when and where you are. It's a perfect place to shed all those other concerns and simply be. To get to know your own self, your inner wilderness, as Gerald May calls it. The untamed truth of who you really are. And experiencing this kind of wilderness doesn't even require going to wild places in nature. With intent, you can create this kind of wilderness experience in your own life, in any place. It takes letting go of this world and its distractions and opening up yourself to God. The word of God came to John at a threshold time, a time of transformation, a time of preparation, a time of experiencing, a time of being. And so the word of God came to him in the wilderness, and he became the voice crying out in the wilderness, calling us all to come and find our own wilderness. to find the place where we can be transformed, to be humbled, strengthened, and to grow. To experience the God who gives us what we need and renews us. To encounter God with our eyes and ears and hearts wide open. To live in the moment and be present to God's whole creation around us. In the wilderness, we answer the Baptist call to repentance and forgiveness, preparing ourselves for the new Exodus, the new kingdom, and the fulfilling of the promise of the salvation of God. With John, we wait in this season of Advent, living in expectation and hope, and looking for the new dawn that will give light to those who sit in darkness and guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.